Another loss to the Heat from our Sixers tonight. We'll talk about that. Comcast Sports and Neil Hartman, and also compare this year's team to the 0-1 team with Allen Iverson. The Comcast Sports Center has a special called Almost Answered. It is on Sunday night, narrated by G Love, with a bunch of great interviews. I watched already. I got an advanced copy. Mutombo's in it. Aaron McKee is in it. Pat Croce's in it. And we will talk to Neil about that special coming up around 11:20. You wanted to get back to the Sixers. That game, it was hard to get a vibe for me. First of all, because I was watching both games at once, but second of all, it was, you know, once Iguodala went out, and by the way, Andre Iguodala is fine. He just said on Twitter he's a little blurry, and he was worried for a minute there, but he's okay. I'm trying to get the exact quote for you here. Andre Iguodala said, "It's a little blurry, but I'm cool. Thanks everyone for your prayers and checking up on me. I appreciate it." So I don't know if he'll play tomorrow against Toronto, but Sixers should be able to beat Toronto without Andre Iguodala. But once he goes out, you know, I mean, how are you going to guard James? But I mean, I saw a lot on Twitter about people saying that they didn't think the Sixers were into it tonight. And I never really got that sense, that they weren't into it. But, I don't know how you feel, but that, I never got that sense. Chris from the Northeast, you're on 94 WIP. What's up, sir?
Spike, it seems inevitable, doesn't it, that we are going to be seeing the Miami Heat in the playoffs.
I still want to believe that with is it 14 games left? That
now,
with 14 games left, that would it be game and a half behind the Celtics, right? That it's still that there's I'm holding out hope, my man, that we might not have to play the Heat in the first round. I can't deal I don't know that my soul, my karma can deal with another Heat series again. I don't know if I can deal with it.
No, I mean, and that's just the one series. It's like, put it to bed, that's over. That's a 5-game series at most, and
yeah,
you know, have fun with the off season. But I mean, I wasn't expecting them to win really tonight. There were some things I watched in that game that they're just really annoying to watch. They kept throwing the double team at LeBron. I don't know how much you noticed that, but Spencer Hall is on these double teams. It's like tissue paper.
Yeah.
If you're going to double team LeBron, you need a guy who's going to double team LeBron, not stand there and he'll just pick you apart.
Would you mean double team him like in the post or like when he's running pick and rolls, like hedging?
18 feet from the basket.
Yeah.
Like with
okay.
Dale just, you know, on isolation. And
yeah.
Spencer Hall comes running around like he's not going to do anything.
Well, Hawes is, look, man, Spencer Hawes is the softest thing in east of the Mississippi. Maybe. A lot of how he's playing now is kind of getting blamed on him not being in rhythm and blah blah blah. And so far, this is exactly the same guy that we saw last year. I mean, this is the Spencer Hawes, and for some reason everybody believes that mirage of 16 games earlier this year is really who Spencer Hawes is. I'll take the guy who's been in the league for 3 years. I'll take all of that evidence more than the 16 games we saw earlier this year. He's soft and he's careless. You know, he makes nice passes, but overall he's generally kind of careless. And as far as if you want something tough out of him, like if you go and double LeBron James, you have to have somebody who is in his face, who is aggressive. Maybe even Thad. But he's so much stronger than both those guys.
Right.
But
but he's longer.
Yeah.
I mean, with Spencer, it's like all of a sudden they're like, oh, great, Spencer has no more limitations on his minutes. I'm like, what was wrong with the minutes he was playing?
Yeah.
I was perfectly fine with these 25 minutes.
Well,
Yeah,
well, the biggest problem now is that Doug, I know there's a lot of Doug Collins criticism, and we'll get into it today, especially that, dude, when he pulled at Turner in the second quarter when Turner was killing him, I was like, and you know, I don't know if you listen to me a lot, but I'm pretty much in the middle between the Turner and Collins, the hissy fit between the two of them here. But what are you doing pulling the guy? They have enough trouble scoring. The Sixers have enough trouble scoring points for the last 30 games, and you have a guy in the game scoring. There's no way Doug would have pulled Jody Meeks if Jody Meeks was doing that. Like, anybody who doesn't think that Doug Collins has a problem with Evan Turner was not watching in the second quarter tonight.
No.
Because if there's anybody else on the entire Sixers team that had it going, like Turner had it going in the second quarter, there's no way Collins would have pulled him. It was crazy.
Absolutely not. And Collins, and the other thing with Collins' substitutions is, I mean, I don't think, I mean, if they get the Heat, they're going to lose regardless. But if they get into a playoff series, they got to play some of these other bigs and give Brand a rest and give Holt. I mean,
well,
he's going to burn them out. I mean, I understand that Vucevic is struggling and LaVoy Allen isn't that great in Petit, but they're all 7 foot. Just throw them in there for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Minutes,
it's you know? Thank you for the call, Chris. It's easy to say that, and I was saying that for a while, but, man, they gave Vucevic a little burn the other night, and he looked terrible again, and that was after a few games where I was begging them. I was doing the same thing. I was doing the, really? We're playing Thad at center and Andre at power forward, and that's our lineup. We can't play any of these other guys. But he was, Vucevic was terrible. I will criticize Doug. But if Doug doesn't think LaVoy Allen can play right now, then don't play LaVoy Allen. I mean, it's not like this guy was a top five pick or something. He was a second round pick, and he might have even been a reach at that. And the problem that you heard about LaVoy Allen is, you know, the whole motor thing. Is that he's not particularly aggressive, and what we need now is somebody who's aggressive. So I don't need somebody in the game who's missing the one thing that we need. Think about who you're talking about too. You're talking about Vucevic, who we didn't know anything about, and we didn't expect anything out of, and LaVoy Allen, who I didn't even expect to be on the roster this year. So if that's who you're yelling to bring in the game, you know, Collins doesn't have a ton of options. I would, if Petit can handle it, I really don't mind Petit when he's in there. He's at least he'll body somebody up. He plays physically a little bit. I don't know how much of it he has. I was about to say he's old, but he's just me. I think Petit is. I think he's 35, which I am, which makes me feel even older. Charles, you're on 94 WIP. What's up, bud?
You know what, Spike, and I know you know your basketball. But listen, I'm getting a little tired of this Drew Holiday thing. This guy. This game sucks. This game is regressed. He's not a point guard, and he's getting worse.
Well, but he never plays point guard. So if he's not a point guard, so I'll agree and I'll disagree. I will say if he's not a point guard, then let Evan play point and let Drew play two. You can get mad at a player for his effort or his performance, but you can't get mad at the position he's put in. So he's, you know, they're all just playing the positions that they're asking to be played. And I don't think, my problem with Holiday is that I haven't seen him play off guard or point guard enough to know which position he plays.
I don't know. He plays a sissy game.
No, I mean, he's a sissy.
This game is so weak. He had six unforced errors tonight, turnovers tonight.
Yes.
Where he just looked like he's lollygagging. He's like in La La Land somewhere.
Wow.
He doesn't particularly get the offense into any kind of rhythm when he comes down the floor. He dribbles too much. When he does it, he dribbles into the lane. He draws a double team, and he forces a shot after that. Doesn't get into a pick and roll game. He don't use the bigs.
Man, Charles, you got so many words in your head, you can't get them out all. You can't get them out in time.
I'm telling you, this game has not gotten. I think Doug may be feeling. He's not teaching this guy really. You think he might be a little overrated, man? Because this guy's not. He's not learning anything.
You're right. I agree with you, Charles. Thank you for the call. I agree with you, Charles, that he's not learning anything. I think Charles was trying to make, couldn't decide which point he wanted to make. Couldn't decide if he wanted to blame Doug for Drew not learning anything or wanted to blame Drew for being careless. Look, Doug benched Drew a bunch of times last year because he got careless, and he'll still do it this time. When Drew gets too careless, and it's usually, with Evan, it's one play. With Drew, it's two plays. If Drew makes two careless plays in a row, he yanks him. And that's what Drew can do, but I don't think Drew knows what position he plays because he doesn't play the. I know to a certain extent you're just looking for skills. You're looking for shooting and ball handling and rebounding and all those kinds of things. And the point guard, shooting guard thing is maybe a little overrated, but still you have to know what you're doing when you're coming down the floor. And I don't know that either of the backcourt guys know what they're doing when they're coming down the floor. By the way, I'm sure Mark Farzetta will have more in the update, but Savory Me Miami the team, which is crazy for the Phillies, which I don't think anybody expected, you know, early in camp. And they sent Luna and Posednik down. But Joe Savery made it, and Pete Orr made it. Posednik in the minors and Luna in the minors. Now, Posednik, they had a little time, and that's why you knew they were going to send him to the minors when they kept Pierre. So I think they have a little time to decide how much they like Juan Pierre, but I think Mark will have more of that in the update. If not, I'll fill you in a little bit later. Reese, what's up, man? Good to hear from you.
What's going on, man?
How are you, dude?
I'm all right, man. You're turning to my favorite WIP host, man.
That's what I like to hear.
Slowly but surely, man.
Dude, as long as it's a little bit more every week, I'll take it.
I do front on you here and there.
All right, man.
But the Sixers, man. I thought I was the only one who noticed that Turner scored about 9-11 points in a row, and then all of a sudden Doug brings in, I forgot who he brought in. I thought that they was coming in for Jody, but I see Turner go to the bench, and I almost flipped, man.
Dude, I was sitting on my couch. I was like, and you know I'll make fun of people for defending Turner too much, but I'm sitting on my couch, and I'm going, hey, Doug, why are you yanking him? What are you doing? I wanted to run to Miami. Like, what are you doing?
You take a guy out. He had a mismatch. He hit about, and some of the shots, the guy hand was in his face, and he still made it. He missed the shot where it went in and out.
Reese.
He's giving him the ball and let him go to work.
Reese, we've had enough trouble scoring points all year. If we got somebody scoring points, I'll take him out of the game. What
but
are you doing?
Jody Meeks in there, who, if he's not shooting, he's not a factor anyway of the game, or at least Turner is going to give you more than points rebounding. I don't understand. Doug needs to come out. They need to have some meeting and just say what it is. There's got to be something.
They got to hug it out, man. They got to hug it out because I'll tell you, it's game to game. It depends on who I end up pissed off at, whether it's Doug or Evan. Tonight, it ended up being Doug. But, like, there'll be those two or three games where Evan just stands in the corner during the offense and stares.
Tonight, he wasn't like that.
No, he wasn't like that. But those are the nights that I'm yelling at Evan, and I'm like, what are you doing? And what I want to do is just get them both into a room and say, Doug, you know how to coach basketball. Evan, you know how to play basketball. Whatever the problem is, air it out, squash it, and move on, because I want to win a playoff series. I want to win the Atlantic this year.
This is the thing, Doug. I think with Drew Holiday, I think Doug, like with the young guys, with Herman Turner, I don't think they know their roles. I think Doug, during the offseason, with the Sixers, because I think they're the future of the team. You have a meeting up with these guys, and you say, you're going to be our point, you're going to be our two. See which move positioning, because I think tonight if Turner plays like that, get a little post game, you know, and the post a little, his mid-range game is getting better. Holiday, he needs to have an attack in mind. Sometimes he just gets into the lane, don't know what he want to do. He needs to stop thinking, but I'm tired of seeing Doug miss Chandler, because I'm a Turner fan, and tonight was a night where I just almost lost it. Seeing that happen. Jody Meeks will make two shots in a row. He'll make one shot, and he'll stay in the game the rest of the quarter.
Doug hates Evan, man. He does. I mean, there's something there. Thank you for the call, Reese. You know I always love your call. Thank you. I appreciate it, brother. All right. He doesn't like him. There's something about him that he doesn't like. Let's just squeeze Brian in real quick. Brian, you're on 94 WIP.
Hey, Blake. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, this is my first time calling, so I'm going to be a little nervous here.
No, don't be nervous.
All right,
I'm more nervous than you are. I have to talk after you hang up. You're done once you hang up, so let me be the nervous one.
All right. I'm glad to hear. I've been listening to the show just recently, and glad to hear all the Philly sports teams here are on 94.
Yeah.
It was always a hard time catching them on the AM station, so this is going to be good for me to get to catch these games because I'm always on the road. So, Blue Sixers, I actually got to finally see a game. I was there live Saturday against Atlanta. The defensive end was spectacular. I was really glad to see how well defensively they play. The offense, I can't figure that out. Why is your 7-foot Spencer Hall standing 16, 18 feet away And they're shooting away, and he's
soft
underneath the basket and getting these rebounds.
Because let me tell you something, man. Brian, your 7 foot guy is soft as a roll of Charmin toilet paper. He is soft, and that's what he does well. He's a pretty good shooter, and he's a good passer, and that's the problem with their big men. And I love Elton. I'm the biggest Elton fan in the world, and he works hard. But he's not a low post player. He's a jump shooter, he's got that nice 16-foot shot, and you have Elton with a jumper and Spencer with a jumper, and there's nobody that plays in the low post. There's nobody down there, like, in the offense. They're both high post, big men. So you don't have anybody under there. It's not the kind of players they are, man. I think, Brian, thank you for the call. I'm up against a break here, but you call me again, all right?
Okay.
No more nerves.
All right, man.
Defensively, they play with a lot of heart, and they play really. What's the word I'm looking for? They're very structured, isn't the word? Whatever it is, defensively they're a great team. They're probably one of the 2-3 best defensive teams in the league. It's Chicago and the Sixers and the Heat. But those guys, Chicago and the Heat, have guys that can score, and the Sixers don't. So you can only win so many games, 82-80. We'll talk more about this, and with, you know, the greatest Sixers team the most fun Sixers team of my lifetime, the Iverson 01 Sixers. We'll compare them to this year's Sixers and talk about that brand new Iverson special coming up on Comcast SportsNet. Next, Neil Hartman. My name is Spike Eskin. 94 WIP Sports Time is 11:17.
Sports Radio 94.
I'm Spike Eskin. Man, it only took me a call from Reese to rile me up about the Sixers and Doug Collins. And I love Doug Collins. I hate being mad at Doug Collins. I feel like I'm being mad at, like, I don't have any kids, but if you had a kid you really loved, you're mad. I don't want to say my grandfather either, because I don't want to make Doug sound like, and I do get mad at my father, so who knows. Did I say my name? I'm Spike Eskin. 888-729-9494. Hopefully we'll talk to Neil Hartman soon. Supposed to talk to him right around now from Comcast Sportsnet about Comcast Sportsnet special airing Sunday night at 9 called Almost Answered, which is a special about the 0-1 Sixers season, narrated by G Love, and just all that stuff that you forget about that Sixers season. We'll get into it, but man, there's a lot you forget about it. I was just over in our green room area, and Nick from Ponzio's was here earlier today. And let me tell you something: when Ponzio's comes over and brings you a spread, they bring you a spread. Because Nick brought that spread at like 11:30 this morning, and there's still cookies left over. There were sandwiches, there were pies, there were cookies. I did my dad's show there Saturday morning, but the Charlie Manuel Show finally returning Tuesday, week from today, April 10th, Charlie Manuel Show at Ponzio's Diner, Bakery, and Bar, Route 70 and Cherry Hill. I mean, first, Angelo and the morning team going to be there from 5:30 to 10 at Ponzio's. Then Michael B. and Ike Reese from 10 until 1, and Charlie Manuel joins Mike and Ike from noon until 1. Man, all day at Ponzio's, and then the cherry on top is Charlie Manuel there from noon to 1. Ponzio's, the diner that specializes in dinner, but everything is really, really good. That is a week from today. Back to your Sixers. Your Sixers. Arr. Man, I just wanted that one Heat win. I just wanted that one win. Calvin from West Philly, you're on 94 WIP. What's up, Calvin?
Yeah, how you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm not too great. I mean, my life is good, but my sports life, man, I'm pissed off, man.
You sounded it.
Collins, man, he's starting to really wear on me, man.
Yeah?
I mean, his rotations is ridiculous. I mean, you would think with 14 games left, 13 games left, that, and he said it himself, that guys on his team, they got tired legs, they're kind of worn out. That he would utilize other guys on his bench. But when you look at the box score and all that, he only went with three guys off the bench, and the three guys went with all the business. None of them is known for their defense.
Yeah, well, Lou Williams is one of the worst defensive players.
Lou Williams couldn't guard King Tut. He's ridiculous, man.
King Tut, while he was alive or dead?
Either way, he was consistent. I mean, they traded for Sam Young, and they say this guy is as good as Iguodala with his defense and all that. But you would think that with Iguodala going out after getting hit by Chalmers in the third quarter, that we just start playing him so he can play a little bit on LeBron, but no.
Oh, yeah, we didn't see any Sam Young at all.
No Sam Young. And he's known for his defense and being tough and all that, but he didn't bring him in the game at all, nor did he go with LaVoy Allen. I know what, and I'm saying to myself, I'm looking at McKee and Curry on the bench. I'm saying, if there's any of these guys going to challenge Doug Collins, I know they need their jobs on, but any of these guys say, Doug Collins, coach, we got to get bigger. We got to get some bigger bodies in there so we can bang on the boards, because we always get killed on the boards when they go with that small lineup.
Tell him.
I mean, look.
Tell him. Keep going. I just wanted you to get it out. You feel like you had a lot.
I'm saying, because I'm pissed, man. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know what?
Evan Turner, Evan Turner, he was killing it in the second quarter. I was loving that. I think that's the Evan Turner we've been looking for. But then the coach comes and put him on the bench.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
And then Drew Holiday comes back in the game, starts stinking it up again, turnover, missed jump shot, strip, the whole nine. It's like if Evan Turner's doing good, then Drew Holiday feels though he gotta assert himself and show that he's just as good. And he started making mistakes. He gets stripped. He put up bad shots. He get in the lane, going up in the air. And he throws the ball away. It's ridiculous. Same thing with Evan Turner. Sometimes Drew Holiday might be doing good, and then he feels though he gotta assert himself and show that that he's a number 12 pick, and that he's just as good and he deserves to be out there. My thing is these two. I mean. For this season, I know you came in the future, they can't go with this. They both point guards. And they're not comparing them to Jason Kidd and Anthony Hardaway. But those two, Jason Kidd 6'4", Anthony Hardaway 6'7", Drew Holiday and Evan Turner are the same size. Man, you got to trade one of these two, man. They can't go with this. And my thing is, if Evan Turner is number two overall pick, then you keep him and you package Holiday with somebody else. They both point guards. And they both need the ball in their hand.
All right. Breather. Calvin. I don't want to. Look, you're on a roll, and I love it, and I feel like I need to just give you an hour and let you go. Don't apologize. But I don't want to miss your points. Now, the first thing I want to say is I don't want to hear about tired legs. And you're right. You know, Doug's saying they're tired. Well, yeah, No. That's, I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that, look, man, everybody in the NBA has played the same schedule. They've all played the same hard schedule. So if the Celtics can come out and not have tired legs and beat the hell out of the Heat, then the Sixers cannot have tired legs. And if they have tired legs, it means the coach was pushing them too hard all year. That's all I'm saying. And if Elton Brand cannot have tired legs, then I don't want to hear
that. You can't say they got tired legs. Kevin Garnett, he's my age. He's 36. And Paul Pierce is 35. Ray Allen will be 37, but he hasn't played since he's hurt. They don't have time late, so it's no excuse. But my thing is, open the lineup up. Let some other guys get some playing time.
Well, I think...
Eight-man lineup, then we
but Calvin,
not working.
Calvin, here's the thing, Calvin, here's the thing, though. And first, the other thing I wanted to agree with is I do think both... Everybody is insisting that Drew Holiday is an off-guard, and I don't think he is. I think they're both point guards.
He's not a point guard.
Yeah, and
I had a couple of callers go, who's killing him, but no, man.
Yeah.
I like Drew Holiday, but he's a point guard. He needs the ball in his hand. Just like Evan Turner needs the ball in his head, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen this year. It's not going to happen. The only way it can happen and for both of those guys to be successful is if one of the two gets traded. And I'm probably thinking that they're probably more likely to trade Holiday than Turner because Evan Turner, you can't trade the number two overall pick.
Well, I don't know, man. Hashim Thabeet's been traded like six times, it seems like, and he's only 100. So thank you for the call, Calvin. Thank you for the call, man. Man, Calvin was, I could have turned the mic off and walked away for an hour and Calvin still would have been going. I feel, he kept saying this one thing. He kept saying, okay, my point is, and then he would start a whole new point. He was amazing. He was so angry. I love the passion. Everybody keeps telling, here's the thing that I think you're wrong. I think Calvin's wrong with, and I think everybody's a little wrong with. Everybody keeps saying, keep open up your bench to who? Who are you opening up your bench to play? Vucevic has been terrible. LaVoy Allen's not that good. Tony Batiste's 100 years old and can only play. Look, Tony Batiste was going to be retired until Doug Collins asked him to not be retired. So that probably tells you that the conditioning and the state that Tony Battee was in coming into this year, and that he was not going to play basketball. Who else on the bench do you have? There's nobody. And if you're looking for somebody else on the bench to go in there and bang and get rebound, there's nobody. There's nobody. Look at the list. Yeah, would you like to see Sam Young in there? Sure, but he's practiced with the team twice. And remember, it's not the defense that's a problem with the Sixers, really. It's that they can't score any points. And if you put Sam Young in, Sam Young's not going to help you score points at all. Sam Young is like a ninth guy. I mean, maybe he's your third, I mean, second forward off the bench, maybe after Thad or second. I don't know, but he's like a 14-minute guy, a 12-minute game guy, and he hasn't been with you all year. He's a bit player to take up some minutes. Maybe he could mean something in the, you know, in a full year for this team. I think he's a free agent after this year anyway. So, there's nobody on the bench. So I will kill Collins as much as Collins needs to be killed, and there are a lot of mistakes that I feel like he's made, and the biggest one, the two biggest errors he's made this year is how he's handled the backcourt and how he's handled Evan Turner and how stubborn he's been. And the other one is he's pushed him too hard. Doug Collins has pushed the Sixers way too hard. And whether it's their legs or their minds, you know, everybody's played the same amount of games. But you see in San Antonio, and I know that the Sixers aren't old like Tim Duncan, but Tim Duncan's, they're just giving him games off. You know, Ray Allen, the game's off. Dwayne Wade, let me tell you something. Dwayne Wade, if he needed to play tonight, he would have played. If they have another game against Oklahoma City tomorrow night and they're measuring how many minutes can I get out of them this week and still be able to be prepared for the playoffs and still be able to be prepared for the other games. And it's a balancing act because the Sixers are not talented enough to have too many players take off games. But sometimes you just got to ease off the gas pedal a little bit with these guys. You got to stop pushing them so hard. And I think that's what Evan Turner doesn't respond to well. And I think even the guys that do respond to it well, like Thaddeus Young's playing like 15 pounds under his playing weight. He's like at 200. I think he's like 210 or 215. He should be playing at 225. It's because they pushed him hard and he just went hard, and I don't think Thaddeus Young's got anything left. And maybe, look, it might be 6-1 and half a dozen in the other. It might be that they wouldn't have this record. They wouldn't be 29-24. Maybe they'd be 500 or worse if they didn't push themselves to get here. You know, if they didn't push so hard in the beginning of the year, maybe they got all those wins because they were pushing that hard, but that's why they don't have as much left. And that's, I'm worried going into the playoffs, man. I mean, remember the end of last year, we lost 5 in a row going into the playoffs. 5 in a row! And that's terror. You can't do that this year, not in the position they're in. So, I don't know, man. It's been a frustrating. Is that Neil? Is that Neil on the phone? I don't know. It is? Yeah. So we'll talk to Neil next, about the 0-1 Sixers. Is that him now? You want to talk to him? Can we do him next? Is that cool? Can he hang on for 5 minutes? Yeah? I don't know. We'll find out. We'll see what kind of schedule Neil Hartman's got. Is he all right? Thumbs up. Thumbs up. So we'll talk to Neil next about, we're going to have it? All right. I've been teasing for a while. It's going to pay off next. Neil Hartman next to talk about that excellent special coming up Sunday night on Comcast Sportsnet called Almost Answered. You got to see it. I'm telling you, it's sick. We'll talk about it next on 94 WIP. 94 WIP Sports Time is 11:36.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Philadelphia sports happen. This is Philadelphia's sports leader, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Recapping a busy Philly sports night with you, Spike Eskin. And as we talk about tonight, we're going to take a trip back in time. Neil Hartman and I take a trip back in time to the better days where the star guard and the coach still hated each other. Hey, Neil, how are you, man?
Good, Spike. First of all, I apologize for being 45 minutes later than I told you I'd call, but Unfortunately, I was still on the air.
No, it's all good.
We had a busy night tonight, didn't we?
It was crazy. I felt like at the end of all three games that I hadn't watched any of them because I was trying to concentrate on all three at once. I'm listening to the Phillies, watching. It's hard to really get a, you know, and you know this from, I mean, doing this your whole, you know, your whole life. But when you're trying to watch all the games at once, it's really hard to get a feel for any of them, you know, that just that vibe of what really happened without just seeing the plays.
Well, throwing the mix. During the Flyers game, I'm doing updates on the Penguins-Bruins game, so we had that game on a monitor, and then, you know, you have the Sixers on another monitor, but I have to really pay attention to the Flyers because that's the game I'm updating on, and then the Phillies we have on a closed circuit video opportunity to monitor to be able to see that. So, you know, it was just, but, you know, this is a great month. I love April. It's a great time. All the teams are involved. Hopefully our hockey and basketball team will go a little further into the month of May, and we can continue this into May.
You know, I sat down to watch Almost Answered is on Sunday night on Comcast Sportsnet Philly, just about that magical Sixers year. And I swear, you know, a lot of the talk is there's been a ton of Turner, Doug Collins talk, you know, over the last several weeks about, you know, some kind of apparent or whether it's imagined or not. It seems like there's something there that doesn't quite work. But when I sat down to watch Almost Answered and I heard Larry Brown talking about Iverson, like I felt like I was in a time warp. How, having gone through that and having watched this, how similar do you think those situations are?
Well, I think any young player, when they get into the NBA, it's a vastly different experience from their college days. And, you know, a player like Evan Turner, who had all that success at Ohio State, was the player of the year. I think you almost instinctively expect to have instant success at your next level. It's always been that way in your career. And even though each and every year, his 3 years at Ohio State, he did improve each and every year, still, this guy, I'm sure, from when he was very young, was always a very special player. So when you get to the NBA, you don't play the minutes you kind of are used to playing, and you have to get used to a coach that is demanding. I think it takes a little time. And we've certainly seen, you know, flashes of what we saw in college out of Evan Turner. And, you know, personally, I'd like to see him, you know, get a little more playing time. I'd like to see him get an opportunity to run the point guard a little bit because he seems to have been successful while doing that. Reverting back to Allen Iverson, Larry Brown had to learn over time how to deal with AI.
Yeah.
And he did. You know, I mean, I think the great moments, which you see in Almost Answered, when he goes, "Where's my coach at? Where's my coach at?" And then when he slaps his thigh when he gets the MVP and he wants Larry to sit on his thigh.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some great moments. And when you talk to Larry about Allen and their relationship, I think he now looks back fondly on Allen, but I'm telling you, the guy wanted to pull his hair out half the time when you would deal with the two during the course, or at least early on in their careers.
Well, and when you watch the special, they basically had him traded, and Larry Brown says, "I wanted to trade him," and they had him traded to Detroit, and if it wasn't for Geiger saying no, that run in 01 would have never happened.
Matt Geiger saved the day, at least for 01, for Sixer fans, and wasn't exactly the most popular guy in the world. Geiger did have his moments when he would, you know, bully up somebody and play a physical game, and fans kind of liked that because he could do that role. But, you know, Pat Croce is very honest about almost trading Allen Iverson. You're right. So I think it's revealing in some ways for people to hear the ownership talk about what they were thinking about doing during that time. But, you know, they decided to give it one more shot, and he said, "Hey, if Allen even does half the things that he said he's going to do when he talked to me, then I think we've got an opportunity here to do something special." And it turned out to be true.
And the best part, I thought, about focusing on that year is, look, there's so much before and after with Allen Iverson. Focusing on that year, you know, I was, again, and I was trying to draw parallels to this year just because it's going on. And, like, you know, they had the defensive player of the year in Mutombo, and you have this defensive player in Iguodala, and you have this older coach that, you know, loves these role players, and that's what we have here. But then that difference, you look at just focusing on that year, you realize just how special and how magnetic and how prolific. It's hard to, not just as a basketball player, but as a person, how special Allen Iverson was. Not like he was a good person, but how, you know, just how polarizing and amazing he was to watch.
Well, I think you're right in trying to compare the two teams with one major factor. You don't have AI on this team.
Right.
You don't have that score. You don't have that guy that's going to score 30, 40, 50 points in a game or have that potential to do that on any night. And in the Toronto series against Vince Carter back in 01, he had to score all those points. They needed him to score those points because Carter was coming right back and doing the same thing.
That was an amazing series. And you realize watching that series, if Carter, what 2 inches can make a difference? Because that final Vince Carter jump shot, if that's 2 inches closer, you know, it goes in and we're not even talking about this.
No, it's true. And I was sitting, the press seating was baseline, probably I was on maybe 6 rows up. And I, you know, it was on our side of the court that I was located, and I'm watching him take that shot. And I thought he got a pretty darn good look, and it was close. I mean, I know a lot of people in the piece say that they thought it was going in, and it was interesting on how, I guess.
Oh, no. Neil. It was like his phone got out right at the amazing cell phone time. It was cell phone cliffhanger time. Oh, we lost Neil. I bet he's on. Oh, there he is. You know what? I'll just grab him. I got him. Oh, there he is. You got him. There. Oh, you left at the cliffhanger moment.
You know, we could send a man to the moon, and we could have a space station, but we can't make a cell phone call at 295 in South Jersey. But what I was going to say was that they were switching between McKee and Hill on who was going to guard Carter, and I thought we handled that really well, how we kind of talk about that. And you know, it was a good look by Carter, and you know, everything was made about him going to graduation that day and all that. But it was perfect for that season that shot was so close, and yet the Sixers then live on for another day. You know, one thing, Spike, about that season that I will remember is that I was at each and every Sixer game home and away for probably about 2.5-3 months. Because the season went on, the playoffs go on forever.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when you have 2 7-game series, I was exhausted. And I wasn't even playing these games. And, you know, I remember Eric Snow, his foot was in, you know, like a boot, and he was in icing his foot. You know, you had everybody, Allen, of course, was all banged up. Everybody was all banged up. And yet they found a way to win that first game against the Lakers in the finals. And then all of a sudden you start thinking, wow, is there actually a shot
that
they can beat L.A.?
Well, and still, though, there was that moment, that stepping over Tyronn Lue moment. Like, it was, whether they won that series or not, that moment lives in the annals of Philly sports history with the Brad Lidge on his knees. And I don't care if they didn't win it, because that night it was almost as if they had won it.
Yeah, it's like Doc's wraparound, right? It's like Doc's layup. It was a great moment at the time watching it in L.A. and and the Sixers won the game. That was the great part of it all. So it was a great run by a team that really Larry Brown put the pieces together perfectly, and they all responded in the right way. You know, with McKee coming off the bench, and again to your comparison about this Sixer team, it's like Lou Williams. You need a guy off the bench to give you some scoring. There's Aaron McKee. You need the defensive stopper Andre Iguodala and Dikembe Mutombo. You need. You know, but again, this team, they just don't have that scoring mentality that Allen Iverson had, and that's the one thing that this current bunch doesn't have. And I don't know when we're going to see that guy come aboard, but if he does, they've got some other nice pieces there on the current team.
Well, we've still got Aaron McKee on the bench.
Yes,
that's one thing that's the same.
He's not dressing anytime soon.
No. Well, thanks very much, Neil. I'm up again. I could talk about this for 2 hours. I have to get my midnight break, though. It's Sunday night, right?
Yeah, Sunday night, 9 o'clock, and Rob Kessler, our assistant news director, is one that really spearheaded this effort, and he did a wonderful job. It's really for any Sixer fan. I encourage you to watch it. I've seen it a few times now. I've seen it in different versions, and they really have done a marvelous job. It's really a lot of fun, and I think any basketball fan would enjoy watching it. So thanks for the opportunity to tell everybody about it. It's Almost Answered, and it's hosted by
G-Love. Yep.
And special sauce. You know, I got to admit, I was not a familiar guy with G-Love, but I've heard a lot about G-Love and special sauce since they told me that he was hosting the show. So, yeah,
he's great. It was perfect. It's perfect. Trust me.
Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Neil. It's Neil Hartman again. Sunday night, Almost Answered, narrated by G Love on Comcast Sportsnet. A WrestleMania wrap up is next with our buddy Ange Goldstein. My name is Spike Eskin. 94 WIP Sports Time is 11:54.
Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Have you been diagnosed with benign prosthetic hyperplasia BPH?